Chers auditeurs,
dear listeners,
bonjour.
Welcome in Comme d'Archi podcast season 4.
Saison 4 dans le monde fascinant des architectes.
And in the architectural projects.
Je suis Anne-Charlotte Deponte, passionnée d'architecture et docteur des universités en histoire de l'archi.
I am one of the spokespersons of Anne-Charlotte, who is a PhD in architecture history.
Merci.
Thank you.
D'être avec moi aujourd'hui.
To be with us today.
Et
and
maintenant.
Now.
Lundi en français, place au talent.
And Wednesday, let's talk projects. In English, of course.
Bienvenue dans Comme d'Archi.
Dear listeners, this is Esther on behalf of Anne-Charlotte. It's good to meet you again for the second part of our small theatrical epic in the West, season 4, episode 36. We left with the ancient theater of Epidaurus, an acoustic masterpiece. Let's meet again today in the Middle Ages, a time when the theatrical space was always in the open air. With the growth of cities, the success of fairs, amateurs play on temporary stages, for example on a square or a cathedral square. The theatre can also be played on a platform or on trestles with a few boards placed on barrels, in a barn or outside. This transportable and dismantable theatre is called threshold theatre. This is where the expression to go on the boards comes from. The public is standing, placed in front of or around the stage which is raised. Sébastien Bazou underlines that the first iconographic sources of projects based on the process of enlargement of the scenic space proper to the Renaissance, I quote, go back to Baltasare Peruzzi, creator of decorations and organizer of festivals between 1515 and 1527. The decor built around an axis and towards a vanishing point corresponds to the desire to anchor the space in a particular order desired by the artist. This was a constant preoccupation of Renaissance painting and architecture. Peruzzi's idea of a scenography associating real and figurative scenery later influenced Sebastiano Sirlio. Inspired by the Roman architect Vitruvius, Sirlio distinguishes three types of scenes that correspond to those of ancient theatrical literature: the scena tragica, the scena comica, and the scena satirica. These are always street views with a partially passable background. Thus, Sirlio was the first to completely open up the space of the central perspective by adding to the real scene a trompe-l'œil architecture as well as a painted scene. End of quote. However, a little like the pyramids that appeared in Egypt, a miracle took place, that of the construction of the Olympic Theatre of Vicenza, inaugurated in 1585. It is considered the first large theatre built since antiquity. It is one of the first covered theatres of the modern era. It is also the last masterpiece of Andrea Palladio. It is listed as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. This unique building represents the synthesis of Palladio's long studies on the classical Greco-Roman theatre. This work is absolutely unique. Entirely built in trompe-l'œil, it follows the principles of perspective. Its proportions remain modest compared to ancient theatres, even if the artifices and illusions that are deployed multiply the spaces and depth. The design of the theatre was entrusted to Palladio by the Olympic Academy of Vicenza, founded in 1555, for cultural and scientific purposes, including the promotion of theatrical activity. Palladio himself was one of the founding members of the Academy. In 1579, the municipality granted him a place to build the theatre inside the prisons of the Castello del Territorio, an old medieval fortress that had been remodeled several times and used as a prison and a gunpowder warehouse before being abandoned. Andrea Palladio, 1508-1580, architect and humanist theorist, is one of the major figures of the Italian Renaissance. He is steeped in the work of the great theoretician of ancient architecture, himself a figure of antiquity, Vitruvius. Palladio studied it very seriously. He went to Rome several times in the 1540s to perfect his measurements, which he refined and compared. Palladio refers to numerous Latin authors such as Pliny, Julius Caesar. Andrea Palladio denounces the ancient and Gothic art. He is essentially concerned with proportion and symmetry, such as nature reveals them to us. However, Palladio wants his theater to resemble the open-air theaters of antiquity. He relied on the proportions provided by Vitruvius to draw his plan, based on a peripheral circle structured in 12 equal intervals. The length between the tiers and the proscenium, the cavea and the proscenium, is essential. The space is no longer fragmented but forms a whole. The cavea has a half elliptical shape that allows to enlarge the surface dedicated to the practice. The spectators are placed close to the stage. The space is compressed. The cavea creates a collective point of view regardless of the place occupied. Palladio introduces trompe-l'œil elements with the hemicycle tiers that appear to be made of marble but are actually made of wood. In the same way, the ceiling disappears behind a trompe-l'œil painting of the sky. The stage wall is monumental and refers to the typology of the ancient triumphal arch that Palladio knew well. From the central and lateral doors of the stage, streets are painted in perspective. In spite of this monumental and fixed scenic frame, thanks to pivoting rectangular prisms called periactes, the perspectives of the scene can be modified. The same year of Palladio's death, in 1580, the work begins. His son, Sylla, took over the work based on Palladio's notes. The cavea, the loggia, and the proscenium were completed 4 years later. The realization of the stage and its perspective is entrusted to the disciple of Palladio, Vincenzo Scamozzi. The scene of the Olympic Theatre, designed by Scamozzi on the instructions of Angelo Ingenieri, corresponds to the representation of the Greek city of Thebes, where the tragedy of Oedipus takes place. The perspective of the seven streets is also realized in painted wood. Supposed to lead to the legendary gates of Thebes, the drawing is incredibly accurate. The ground is ascending and bordered by rows of houses on each side. It naturally leads the eye to the background. The closed angle gives the illusion of great depth, while the door of the front scene are widened to intensify the spatial illusion. The Olympic Theatre of Vicenza was inaugurated on March 3, 1585, with the presentation of Oedipus King by Sophocles. The play is partly staged thanks to a system of artificial illumination of oil lamps, avoiding the risk of fire. The wooden and plaster decorations made for temporary use were never dismantled, despite the risk of fire. Miraculously, they have been preserved to this day. They even survived the bombings of the Second World War. Today, the theater is still used, mainly for classical performances, concerts, in spring with the festival Suono dell'Olimpico, and in autumn with a cycle of classical performances. No heating or air conditioning, for fear of damaging the structures. Its capacity is limited to 400 seats for the sake of conservation. Some people see it as a theater built for a unique spectacle, which would play its own performance for more than four centuries, like a Greek tragedy. However, it is considered to be the oldest indoor theater of the modern era and became the father of the Italian theater. Later on, Vincenzo Scamozzi modeled the Sabbioneta theater on the same ancient basis, giving it a semicircular shape and making the stage visible to all spectators. In 1618, J.B. Aleotti built the Theatre of Parma, whose general shape is a hemicycle extended by straight lines. Around the parterre is a vast amphitheatre surmounted by two galleries adorned with columns and arches. Dear listeners, we never get tired of rediscovering our classics, yet so modern. If you haven't visited yet, we strongly recommend going to Veneto to discover the huge and intimate Olympic Theatre. Dear listeners, we are so happy for your fidelity. Of course, take care of yourselves and see you next week with a new issue. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. Thanks to Julien Robourg, sound engineer, who is collaborating with us today. Don't forget to tune in to our previews on Instagram at Comme d'Archie Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, don't hesitate to promote it by giving it 5 stars and a little comment on Apple Podcast or on your favorite podcast platform. And above all, subscribe to listen to all of our episodes for free. See you soon, and until then, take care of yourself.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.